7, Wednesday, February 4th, 1986. Members present, Representative Furness, Representative Davis, Representative Schultz, and Chairman Representative Cato. I would like to have the witness, any witnesses sign the, any participants sign the witness register. We have today with us Commissioner Knapp. I'm supposed to introduce the VIPs. Commissioner Knapp of the Department of Transportation. I have little notes here on the side, you know, like introduce late arrivals and so on and so forth. And I know she says, where's our Marco this morning? He had a long day yesterday. Boy, these people that sleep in.
A likely story.
Some days they fly all over the country, other days they sleep in, huh? We don't fly all over the country because we want to. Right, Mike? Today we have, inside your folders, is simply an index of materials related to the lift axle. I left mine on my desk. Hopefully you all brought your copy of the interim report. If not, there was three extra copies and we're trying to have some more Xeroxed off. The interim report contains, as you know, a two-page summary and then the information that's on your sheets and your packets. Today's work session, let the record show that Representative Maru has arrived. Today is a work session on lift axles. We have with us Bruce Freetag from the Department of Transportation. He has a video that he wishes to show us. Mr. Freetag, would you like to take the witness stand? Did you sign in?
Yes, I did.
Madam Chairman?
Oh, yes.
Before we get to that, I wonder if it might be appropriate for me to give you and the committee kind of an overview on what led up to this lift axle and into the videos.
Please do.
Madam Chairman, sometime...
Would you give your name and which
okay, record? Okay, I'm Dick Knapp, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation. Sometime about, roughly a year ago, and prior to that, we had been looking at our maintenance budget and what was happening to our roads. When I first came on board, I looked at our capital budget, and I saw in our capital budget we were rebuilding things that had just been built. And when I asked the question on why that was happening, and the answer was, we didn't put the proper amount of maintenance into it because we didn't have maintenance money. So it apparently what was happening, instead of building up the maintenance budget, we were building up the capital budget that we just rebuilt roads that we had built in the past. If you do that indefinitely, you end up by merely maintaining a system that you have. You never have money for significant improvements on the existing system or expansion of the existing system. I put in for a significant budget increase in maintenance, did not get it. Started investigating, you know, just the whole operation in terms of maintenance. And certainly it's acknowledged that overweight trucks have an impact, a significant impact on the on the roads, and therefore a significant impact on our maintenance budget. So it all relates. Last year about this time, we met with the representatives of the Alaska Truckers Association, and I had about come out with a position that said, I can't see, unless we have some kind of realistic and effective enforcement, any justification or any logic for a weight-bearing lift axle. Now, you've got to consider that the damage to the roads is a function of the pressure put on the roads through axle loadings. Now, Obviously, a trucker would like to have and load his axles to the maximum extent possible, and I understand that. And at the same time, our roads and our bridges are constructed to withstand certain pressures through a tire footprint. Now, if in fact you put a third axle on board a truck to pick up the maximum weight, and you want to include the maximum weight on those three axles that you're allowed to carry for obvious purposes, the economics of trucking, that's fine. As long as we calculate what the weight is, and we know that we're within the tolerance limits for pressure loadings on the road. Now, so far it's all very logical. But once you get to the point where the man gets underway, and for various reasons, not the least of which is safety, which I'll get into in a minute, another reason, economics, he lifts that axle that has been figured in the weight-bearing capacity of that truck, you have effectively increased the loading on the other two axles by 50%. So if you had a loading of 14,000 pounds on three axles each, 14,000 pounds, you've immediately jumped from 14,000 pounds per axle to 21,000 pounds. And that is a significant impact and an adverse impact on both our roads and our bridges. So I met with the truckers just about a year ago and said, gentlemen, I don't see any alternative but what the lift axles have to go away. We'll do a recomputation on increasing the weight limits to ease the economic burden on this, but I don't see any way that we can maintain or can I find any logic for the lift axle based on the words I just gave you. Well, Commissioner Sundberg was there, I was there, and the truckers were there. And there was some agreement, there was more disagreement, and they said, oh no, let's give us some time. Give us some time to take a look at this thing and see what we can do. So I said, all right. I said, but what it's going to require, there's three parts to the equation. Three parts. Number one, I've got to have some kind of discipline within the trucking industry to ensure that those lift axles are kept down when they're loaded. Number two, we need probably some kind of penalty, which a meaningful penalty, which makes it advantageous for people to keep that lift axle down. And third, and just as in fact most important, I need effective enforcement. Now, unless Commissioner Sundberg can tell me he can give me effective enforcement, it's a no-go. Originally, we set up until March 15th to have people come up with a position on this, as most things happen, that didn't happen, and it dragged on probably for another month, April 15th, and so on and so forth. In the meantime, contrary to what you heard at public hearings on the lift axle, which came later, you see, it seems the only people who come to public hearings, or for the most part, are those people who are against what is going on, so they come to tell why it shouldn't happen. But prior to the time that we came out with our lift axle decision, I started to get reams and reams of paper from independent truckers who cited safety problems, significant safety problems with the lift axles. And I still have those, and I'll provide those for the file, but they amount up to something like that. And I said, well, you know, I thought I was talking to the whole trucking industry when I talked to the Alaska truckers. And they say, oh, no, we don't belong to the Alaska truckers. These were the owner-operators, and they were predominantly centered up and around Fairbanks, okay? So I said, okay, I'll put that aside, and we'll take a look at our original position. Well, make a long story short, the three parts of the equation could not come together. Namely, public safety could not assure me that there was going to be any kind of effective enforcement. And that's a reasonable position when you consider the number of troopers we have and the amount of roads that we have. So, in effect, what you had was an unenforceable situation. Now, when you put that together with what I was hearing from the owner-operators, it became apparent that I had a bigger problem than what I thought. So, I mulled it over. We looked at it on May 15th, I guess it was, May 15th. I've called a meeting of all the truckers and anyone else that would come and anyone who had an interest. to have a meeting in Anchorage with me. And we filled the conference room up at the headquarters in Anchorage. And I told them that we would increase the weights, but the lift axles had to go away. And there was some concern on the part of the trucking industry. They said, well, what about your calculations? And we said, well, here's what we came up with. And they said, well, we'd like to see the calculations. And I said, fine, you have a right to them. And the reason they wanted to see the calculations is they wanted to assure themselves that what we were saying with respect to the loadings and the damage to the pavement was true. They were going to hire a consultant to take a look at the calculations and get back to us. We pulled the calculations together, and on June 15th, which was the day that we were supposed to deliver the calculations, I personally walked those calculations into the Alaska Truckers Association and handed them to the executive director so that they would have those calculations and they could come back to us. Well, to the best of my knowledge, I never received an analysis of the calculations, and if Bruce has something that I don't know about, he's certainly welcome to say it, and I'll just be wrong once again, but I have not seen the calculations and I'm not aware of their being there. But anyway, I had to do something. We conducted some tests with respect to lift axles up and down on a laden truck on ice, and some of which Bruce will give you. I think we even have some FHWA clips. And it became apparent that this was the only way to go. When I went to the public hearing, we held public hearings. My people were instructed to, we adjusted public hearing schedules to allow people to come. We adjusted the public hearing schedules so they were not any finite time from 1 till 4. They started at 1 o'clock and they went on until everyone had their say at those meetings. Now, admittedly, as you and I had discussed, the people came in and the overwhelming response was, we don't want them, okay? And my answer to that is that the public hearings, as I see them, are not necessarily a balloting or a voting process. What it is to pick up information and have people tell you facets of the situation that you don't know. And what I was looking for, and I would truly like to have had, is for someone to give me a logical explanation to refute what I just related to you regarding to the increase in pressures on the road by lifting an axle. No such logic came forward, and given that situation, we went ahead with proposed regulations to eliminate the lift axle. At the same time, recognizing the economies, or the economics of the situation with respect to the truckers, we also increased the weight, and Bruce has got the details for you. We not only increased the weight, but what we did is we imposed no limitation on the number of axles, but rather, and no limitation on truck weight, but rather based our upper limits on what we call the bridge formula, which is a function of the number of axles, to support the weight on a truck, and the wheelbase of the operation, the wheelbase of the truck.
Well, go ahead with that, and I'd like to make a remark to determine the
total weight the truck could carry.
I'd like to know how many members of the committee have been aware of the fact that the bridge formula has to do with trucks rather than the bridge itself. Could I have a response from the committee on that? I wasn't aware of this until just recently. I thought the bridge formula indicated the bridge and the condition the bridge was in and how the bridges were built.
I've never heard of the bridge formula, Madam Chairman.
Well,
I just read it.
Well, anyway, we have the bridge formula, and also there's probably that's not something that we dreamed up. That's what it's called. And it's in normal use, and also we have a concern for the bridges. But once again, the bridges is a function of the pressure loadings on the road, which is a function of the bridge formula that I just described to you. That is a function, once again, of the wheelbase and the numbers of axles. So, Madam Chairman, that's how we got where we are. It was not something that we did arbitrarily or capriciously. We held the hearings. And contrary to what you might think or what you might hear, we even did listen at the hearings. But I didn't hear anything that would, like once again, refute the logic that I saw in having a weight-bearing axle that could all of a sudden be lifted and no longer bear the weight and increase the loadings by 50% and thereby give me more maintenance problems than we already have.
Representative Schultz.
Do you have any problem with it as some kind of an exemption on the haul road, for example?
I would think that, yes, I would have trouble with that, Mr. Schultz. And one of the reasons that I have trouble with that is because on the haul road, you could argue that, well, that's not a paved surface, okay? But there are a lot of bridges on the haul road. There are a lot of bridges on the haul road. And if I exceed the loadings for those bridges, we've got problems. We've got a lot of problems on the haul road. And let me go one step further. One of the significant factors that was brought out by the trucking industry, in this case it was mostly the owner-operators, they indicated that that the lift axle was a function of safety. And they only lifted it when it was unsafe. Only lifted it when it was unsafe. Well, safety, to my way of thinking, and danger, to my way of thinking, is a very subjective feeling. And when one fellow says, it's unsafe, so I'm lifting my axle, what's unsafe for you may not be necessarily unsafe for me. And there is just no standard that we can apply to it. So yes, I would see problems on the haul road.
But you're not talking about it. Okay, the only reason you're opposing it then is because, okay, you can't prove it, but there may be a safety factor, right?
Yeah.
With the lift axle. And the other thing is that you don't believe that some of the bridges were built to accommodate the extra weight.
That's correct. See, what we did is, after our first hearing, I said, look, we've got to give these folks something, as because once again, the economics of this says that we're saying they can carry less weight. Now, I want you to go back and I want you to do the calculations for the bridges, and I want to see that what we can possibly lift the weights up to. And my bridge people down here in headquarters did do the calculations, and we were able to lift the weights. And unfortunately, the problem with the bridges is that the damage is cumulative. I mean, it, you know, it just doesn't, you don't hit it and it goes away. Each one that's overloaded stresses the bridge, stresses the structure. So as far as danger, you know, you say, well, we can't prove it. And I guess depending on who you talk to, that's probably true. But we've got some films here that, once again, people who disagree say, well, those are not really good. But it's the only ones I've got. We'll show them to you.
What would be a maximum load, ton-wise, that a truck could haul on the haul road with a lift axle?
With the lift axle, I'm gonna defer to Bruce. I don't have those numbers. He's my trucking expert. And
okay. And then I was just wondering, in relationship to that, what is what bridge on the haul road structurally has the minimum amount of load capacity?
Now, I'm sure the first one we can give you right here, and he might even be able to give you the second one, but I can't, and I doubt if he can, and we'd have to get back to you on which bridge is the minimum one, and those are good questions. Madam Chairman, that's all I have at this point.
I would like to make a, I would also like for the record show that Representative Penalberry has joined us. I would also like to make a statement on public hearings. If we are going to have public hearings, and they are supposedly held there so the public will know about it and can testify, and then we don't hear what we want to hear in public hearings, what is the object of wasting the state money on public hearings?
It's not a question of hearing what you want to hear. It's a question of hearing some facet of a problem that you may not have considered, in my opinion. And I think there's always a chance of that. And I think that's the reason for public hearings. Unfortunately, if you're holding public hearings as a plebiscite to go and vote an issue, I don't think that's what they were intended for, because history will show that in this case, most of the people that come out are people who are against what's going on. I guess, Madam Chairman, public hearings. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say so I can consider it in a decision. I think that's the essence of public hearings. And certainly you've got to give consideration, but I think it's got to be more to the substance of what you hear rather than to the numbers on either side of an issue.
Representative Davis.
Madam Chairman, we've been waiting for this film, and I don't want to cut off any debate, but I'd like to see this thing so we can debate. It might cause further debate or questions.
All right. We also have another film that we'd like to show in conjunction with it, which was just taken recently and under the same conditions.
Okay. Madam Chairman, if that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Okay, and I'm sure that Bruce can answer the weight question for Representative Schultz. And then he can address the bridge one, too. Thank you very much.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Bruce Freitag from the Department of Transportation. I'm our maintenance engineer. And I have developed with the trucking industry the regulations that you have before you. The handouts I think everybody might have that we have here in front of me are the
truck. Did you say you developed those with the trucking industry?
With input, certainly, from the trucking industry.
Okay,
all
I prefer you clarify that statement.
The December 31st memorandum, or letter, I should say, from our commissioner that transmitted the regulations and the existing regs, as well as the new regulations that went into effect on January 18th. The letter in the longer form to T.J. Thrasher of the Alaska Trucking Association also contains the calculations that were made by our bridge section with regard to various loadings on hypothetical bridges. In other words, using our bridge design, showing that the curve continues up as you increase the amount of weight in a given axle situation. The letter dated March 29th, and there's actually three letters in combination into this package, from our research engineer in Fairbanks dealing with lift axles. And the March 29th letter deals with the videotape that you're going to see this morning that was taken at Fox. There's some lift axle data that was provided by the Department of Commerce and Economic Development Measurement Standards Division in their scales at the Potter Scale House that shows what the lift axles were carrying as they were able to weigh them coming through the scales. I don't know if you're familiar with our May 15th meeting that the commissioner addressed, but here is an outline for that meeting of what we had planned originally. And of course you have the regulations before you of what came out from the public hearing testimony. And then a separate sheet of paper that more or less gives the various weights a truck can haul, gross vehicle weights, using the bridge formula by the bridge or the extreme distance between the outer axles of a combination, a truck tractor or two trailers or single trailer combination. And as you read down the footage here and then across with the weight depending upon the number of axles. And in response to Representative Schultz, it's dependent in the weight question he had for the haul road, it's dependent upon the length of the particular truck he's talking about, truck, tractor and trailer, and the number of axles. But for example, if you have a truck tractor, a 48-foot trailer, and a truck tractor underneath that, your wheelbase would probably be in the neighborhood of 65, we'll say 66 feet here, just to throw a number out, and we'll say that it has 9 axles, which is a possibility for some of the pipe haul trucks. And that would be in the neighborhood of 109,000 pounds gross vehicle weight.
All right, Okay, would you like to start your video?
We can start the video now. Now, I must point out the video...
I don't know where Representative Schultz went, but...
Madam Chairman, could I ask a question?
Yes, Representative.
Mr. Freitag, how old is the bridge formula? How long has it been around? How long has it been in the code?
The bridge formula has been in existence since the 1960, 61, 62 is when it was, as near as I know, that's when it was developed. It was developed by the Federal Highway Administration and the American Association of State Highway Officials in conjunction with tests that were made actually on the East Coast, but they were throwing the various trucks they had together, and they developed the formulas that still are accurate today. And another film that I have that I can show this morning gives that information.
Has the formula been in the administrative code for some time?
Well, I think it's been in the administrative code since the administrative code was developed, because the administrative code was certainly developed after our statehood, and the bridge formula has been in existence since that time.
So you're talking about 20, 25 years?
Probably, right. And it's valid for every state, the full United States.
Now, the bridge formula we're talking about is the bridge of the truck.
Is the bridge of the truck.
And I think we need to clarify that as we go along, because it can be very well misconstrued in people's minds.
Now, there's a bridge structure, and then they talk about the bridge between axles, or for that matter, even in a trailer, the bridging effect from the rear axles to the fifth wheel or to another set of axles in the front. So it's the same concept as what designer bridges for. Okay, the video you're going to see, the Concerned Owner Operator Trucking Association, if you will, that formed in Fairbanks, came to the department and said, we can show you how what we perceive to be safety problems using the lift axle. And the Fox Scale House, in a snowy or winter condition, provided that area where they could at least demonstrate. And they asked us if we would be interested. We said, sure, that we'll have our video equipment, and they had some of their own, and I think they even invited the radio or TV stations, and there were other people. But the video you're going to see was taken by our people. The narration on it is not real good. We're not professional movie makers by any means. But what you'll see is there is the concerned owner-operator, I assume owner-owned trucks, and their demonstration of how they were able or not able to make turns on ice, and also how the ice affects and the lift axle affects the operation of the truck. I must point out, we did give the opportunity to the Trucking Association to bring in another or make some additional demonstrations of their trucks and of their drivers. And Bob Strong called from in April, and he was going to do that, and then the truck broke down, so he wasn't able to get a video.
Bruce, isn't this the one we have where we actually show them coming around the bend, don't we?
Yeah, you'll see that coming up.
Looks like there's four lift axles.
There's actually quite a few. There's one there, there's one here. to make up the truck tractor. There's one here and there's one there, I think, on the trailer.
You can see the steering. You got very minimal steering effect before you went into the edge of the snowbank there.
How can you tell if it's a lift axle as opposed to whatever else it may be?
Sometimes you can't, but I happen to know the particular rigs, and you have a layout in this memorandum here on March 29th from Billy Connor. In about the fourth page in, it shows the particular layout of this particular rig.
They went out of their way here, I think,
Aren't most lift axles single wheel?
Yes, most of them are. For two reasons. One, weight going up and down, and also because it's hard to turn two tires on each side.
The conversation going on is making the film very difficult to look at.
What he's doing here is just getting to a point where he can come around again. The Fox Scale House is, of course, an open area with at the confluence of the Steese Highway and the Elliott, I guess it is, closed up. And these are owner-operator people that are developing how they're going to come around the curve.
If you want to go up this corner here, it'd be a good corner because they're going to come in there.
Okay.
Can we pause there? Could we pause there?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to be learning from this? I don't quite.
What happened here was the fact that he couldn't turn in an icy wintertime condition, from the standpoint that as he was coming around the turn and he had his steering axle turned, the drive axles back here were driving the truck straight. And it took the weight, and because of the weight situation here with the lift axles, took the weight off the steering axle. So that there was no friction on the steering axle on the surface of the roadway.
Isn't that a function of the weight on the axles pushing the steering axle? And the fact that the steering radius, the turning radius changes according to the load?
Well, to some extent, but the biggest problem they had was the fact that the weight on the lift axle back here took weight off the steering axle here, so that there was not the friction that there would normally be.
And you're saying if he didn't have the lift axle, he'd be able to make that turn okay?
Well,
this is the same load?
This is what they are saying. No, because the load would be different without the lift axle.
So I was under the impression we were going to look at some kind of scientific test that was going to show us the efficacy of a lift axle versus the situation without a lift axle. But this, I'm being surprised now. You're not going to show us the same truck do the same thing without a lift axle.
We didn't have that.
But are you relying on this as some kind of a test to draw conclusions from?
We used this, that's for sure.
Boy, okay.
But there was more than this. There was the testimony also.
No, sure.
Commissioner Knapp.
As I remember this film, Bruce, we had pictures of him going around the bend with the lift axle up also, did we not?
Oh, that's right.
See, so what you, Mr. Bignonberry, you are going to see both. You're seeing here him going around the curve with the lift axle down, and there are further runs on this film that show him go around with the lift axle up.
That's with the same load,
same
configuration.
That's right.
Except
up.
Okay, that's what I was.
Now what he'll have to do here is lift his lift axles, be able to back out.
How do you lift the axle?
Air pressure controlled inside the cab, the driver's console. See the lift axle going up now. They have some kind of an air control switch inside the cab. It lifts it down or up, and any position in between them, most of them. It's not just an up or down situation.
How long is this film?
I think it's about 15 minutes, 20 minutes maybe, maximum.
Madam Chairman, what we were trying to do was, you know, we were already sure of our grounds on the mathematics of it. What we were testing here was those safety allegations, okay, as best we could. Is there some way that we can either run that forward fast or
this is fine. It's
okay.
I think I'd like to. I want to see what. He's putting the lift axle back down.
Yes. Okay. He's back down now and he can put the lift axle down. We'll see a demonstration now.
Now, which one of those is the lift axle again?
This one right here is in this particular rig here. There's two on the trailer.
As he was backing out, you could see all the lift axles were lifting.
You'll have to do better than mine.
There's a lift axle in the very back of the truck tractor that he couldn't see when he was in the turn there.
pretty unusual configuration, though, isn't it, the number of lift axles?
It's unique for the most part in Alaska.
And just to run here with the axle up.
Yes, yes.
He's showing here that he can't turn. His drivers are driving the truck, but he can't see the wheels are turned, but he's not turning the rig with the lift axles down. That's
we're going to go through now is he's going to lift both the lift axles on the tractor, go around the routine as he just did, and we'll see if it improves his steering wheel. We'll be able to get an idea of that just right here just by watching him turn in and out. Probably heard the air when he started lifting the axles. We'll be able to see some of the skidding here. See the tires skidding already in that turn. You see what's happening to those center lift axles.
How much load do you got on the truck?
It's carrying a total load of 109,000 pounds approximately.
That's 109,000?
101,500.
Let's go around the corner here in a second. Here he comes into the picture.
This vehicle has two lift axles,
one here and one here, and that's also two on the trailer back.
Are they up now?
Both of them are up now.
The ones in the back?
Not sure about the ones in the trailer.
They were down.
No, they were down.
Would you customarily lift those two or just the ones on the front? Would you lift the ones in the back too or just the ones on the front?
He's going to do that next time.
What did he just say?
Okay.
The lift ones on the trailer when you're trying to make turns, this type of thing, in and around off the pavements or if it's in a hill condition where you need more traction.
Wait a second, first. The purpose of the lift axle is to disperse the weight, is that?
Well, it's supposed, the purpose of additional axles is to disperse the weight. The purpose of the lift axle in this particular instance and for all trucking operations in the state is to carry additional weight.
Now, are you saying then that the presence of the lift axle and that additional weight is the thing that's causing the damage to the road surface?
When they lift the axle, there's no guarantee they're going to leave those axles on the ground.
As long as they're down, then you're okay.
As long as they're down.
And you've got more weight per
square inch.
Okay. We're retiring.
But now, why would they lift them?
Well, there's two reasons. There's wear and tear on the extra axle, for one. There's a safety condition of being able to turn.
Okay.
There's traction problems on the drive axles.
What's the skidding there?
We've got them up now, all the way around.
Well, all four axles are turning under.
Well, just because of the rise in the
road. Yeah, that's just because of the rise in the road where we got a little incline coming out of the scale house.
Now all lift axles are up.
Right, all lift axles are up.
And he has three on here.
Yes, two back and one forward. Right?
I'm sorry.
How many lift axles do you have?
Four.
Right.
Okay, I only see three.
Two on the trailer back here and two on the truck tractor. You can't see a small one behind.
Which two are there?
this particular truck is a little over 48 tons.
48 what?
48 tons.
You've been doing everything else in pounds, and all of a sudden you switch it to tons.
I'm sorry?
I said you've been doing everything in pounds, and all of a sudden you switch it to tons.
Oh, I'm sorry, 96,000.
What happened there? We can't see that.
Well, they had them all down.
Two lift axles were up.
No, no, they were down on that last run, weren't they, Bruce?
No. He must have lifted them. They were up on the last one. Taking them off.
He will put them down now.
Why did we change trucks?
There were three different rigs that they wanted to use because they were different axle configurations, just to provide demonstration of typical trucks that are on the road instead of using just one.
What's the percentage of trucks that are have overweight permits that go on the haul road? Is there a percentage that's allowed, or is it no
set percentage. The only time you can get an overweight permit is if you have a load that cannot be broken down. These trucks are not overweight with the proper axles on the ground. It varies depending on the road. What you're seeing here is the problem that they hit with that extra axle in there, and it's creating a lot of friction on that tire, on that axle coming up there.
Now, are the axles down on this one? Or are they going
down? In particular instance, they were down.
You see the front of them? No.
Well, you see they're up here.
They're up.
And what he's trying to say is that as he was up, he was able to come around.
They still didn't have any. He didn't have any problem with the back axles down. Except for the skidding.
Except for the skidding.
It didn't distract from the steering of the
right
truck. The truck was able to pull.
So what are you deducing that? Did you want to get back to the quick or cause a problem with the steering?
Well, you can definitely, because it takes a
little. But not the real effect. Now what's the next test where you go?
Bruce?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was just curious what this is going to be. So, well, I guess I can wait and watch.
He came around one more time, and he will be showing the fact that he can't turn the rig as he's backing on a strip and going forward on a straight stretch. And there, with the lift axle down, here is the fact that he's got his wheels turned at an angle, but he's still backing straight.
I was who that teaches this now.
I'm sorry.
I'm just being facetious.
Is it the same driver in all the trucks?
Different drivers, the owner and operator of the rig.
Madam Chairman, you know, in order to put this into perspective, what the committee ought to know is that these are owner-operators, okay? And the owner operators, to a man, are in favor of getting rid of the lift axle, okay? Now, this is for the matter of record, because I don't want this to come and say, well, you guys threw rig test at us, okay? And because you're saying, well, you had these fellows do the test, okay? They were against that. They want the lift axles to go away. And I'm acknowledging is the possibility that maybe this could be exaggerated. I don't think it is, okay? But it'd be foolish not to acknowledge the possibility of it. I think what you got to look at here is, you know, while you could say, well, we can't do too much, you know, the guy might be able to fool around with going around a curve depending on how he cranks his wheels. And you might even fairly ask, well, why are you doing this? They don't back down the driveway or the back down the highway. What we're trying to show here is that with the number of axles just adjacent to the drive axle, the more you have down, the less control you have over that front end, okay? And the backup test of this is something that cannot be rigged. I mean, there's only one way to back up. And if you're backing up and you got your wheels turned and you're not turning, then that's a function of something. And that's what I'm trying to do, is establish a little ground zero truth here, acknowledging that these drivers were in favor of the lift axle going away. What I'm trying to do is lay it out for you.
Now, you said owner-operators to a man. Are you saying all owner-operators in the state want to get rid of the lift axle?
If I can believe my correspondence, Bruce, you got it all down.
The owner-operator came to us that I know of and provided testimony that said that the lift axle, that he wanted the lift axle to remain.
How many?
No owner-operator. In testimony, that identified himself as an owner-operator. I had a number of them say to me that, look, we want to get rid of the lift axles, but we're driving for a particular company, and that company has told me that I had better be in favor of the lift axles to the extent that they thought that the jobs would go away.
All the axles must be down.
I believe they are. Yes. And at real low speeds, you can control the rig, but in a normal highway driving speed, that's when your problems come.
Madam Chairman, all of the truckers who've approached me from my district who drive large rigs are all owner operators, and all of them are against truck axles, the lift axles, and by all, I've only been approached by three or four, but they're all owner-operators, they're all against the lift axles.
I wanted to clarify that.
I think there's a significant difference. When you drive your own rig, you got your life on the line. I know I drove my own rig for 3 years, and it's different, I would imagine. I've never driven for anybody else. I've only driven for myself.
Question that I have, without the lift axle, that truck, one of those trucks was hauling 105,000 pounds, one was 96,000.
One was 101,000.
Right, or 101, whatever it is. Anyway, what could those trucks have hauled had they not had lift axles?
Well, in response to that, in the one rig that we saw with nine axles, of which four were lift axles. Had he not had those, we go to our chart here, and probably it was at 62 feet and five axles, approximately 86,500 pounds.
So he would have had to take off, if he'd come through the scales, which is the normal?
About 20,000 pounds.
Inasmuch as we're in a crunch for time, and we wish to give other witnesses an opportunity to testify, I'd like to hold a debate until such time as the other witnesses have testified.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
Is that all right with the committee?
Well, I don't have a question for Tucker.
Our next witness to testify is Harry Banahan of Anchorage. Mr. Banahan?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. We brought with us a video that was made by the same company, however, not the same drivers. And unfortunately, it was not in my hands until about 11 o'clock last night when I flew down here. I had to pick it up. It was made yesterday afternoon in Fairbanks at the same location as was the commissioner's, so I have not had a chance to preview the film. I would ask that if I could get to another VCR somewhere in the building and do that, that I would waste less of the committee's time and in the meantime, and set it up so we can run it. It's probably only about 5 minutes long.
You'd rather preview it rather?
Well, I just want to be able. It's the Super Bowl, and then this is sandwiched in between. Okay, so I don't want to take up the committee's time unnecessarily with doing something like that. I'd rather preview it so I can just come back in 5 minutes and show it and make a few succinct remarks.
Do you have any testimony you wish to give prior to that time?
Yes, I can. I'd like to respond to a few things about this particular demonstration that was shown to you and to the committee. First of all, this particular, it's the association's position and the position of the person that actually leased the tractor from the driver that had it. He was there and he knew it. This particular situation, of course, was staged by DOT and the owner-operator. In 99% of all the circumstances that occur either on the haul road or on the blacktop in the state of Alaska, situations like this never occur because the driver, if he gets in a situation, picks the axle up or puts less pressure on it so that there's always enough pressure to steer. This is really not a safety situation. This shows you what can be done in a situation where deliberate extremes are put upon the lift axle and not in the usual normal circumstances. Even a butter knife is dangerous if it's used the wrong way. This is a tool that's been given to us to use, and if we overload the axles, naturally we're not going to have any steering capability. But these drivers never do that in these extreme circumstances. Personally, I'd like to know why they didn't sand that scale house too. The driver really could have turned there, but he didn't. He actually went back to Fairbanks and was bragging to his fellows in the lunchroom at Kodiak Oilfield Haulers that of how much he oversteered and played with the lift axle and how much air he had on it that allowed him to do this. So this was quite a deliberate move. The man that Howard Thies, the person that he works for, overheard him.
Excuse me, are you saying the Kodiak oil fielders, Kodiak oil field haulers are in favor of using lift axles?
Yes, they are. What you have to understand is that this operation called the Concerned Owner Operators is an affiliation of primarily a few Teamster Union drivers. the overwhelming majority of the drivers that are using the haul road and the highways today are non-union drivers. The non-union drivers typically get paid on a percentage of the revenue of a load, which means that the more they haul, the more they make. The Teamster or union drivers normally get paid on the same percentage, but they extract their wages at a specified rate from the amount that they get paid. So, and I say at a specified rate, the union sets the wage rate per hour that these drivers must then in turn pay themselves and then pay, of course, benefits to the union. So what they're doing is they're paying themselves a high wage and on an hourly basis and less to their truck. Independent owner-operators pay themselves a very small wage and shelter most of their income in the truck and the maintenance, where they're able to pay less taxes on it. But so the independent owner-operators want the lift axle. It's only a few Teamster union operators that don't want the lift axle, naturally, because they want more jobs on the highway and more loads for them to haul. It makes sense.
Are you suggesting that most owner-operators are Teamsters?
No, I'm suggesting that 90% of the owner-operators are non-union.
How about the employed drivers?
I'm talking about the employed drivers. 90% of the people using the haul road are non-union drivers.
Okay, but we've got the owner-operators and we've got the people who are employed by somebody else.
I'm talking about, yeah, okay.
Okay, the owner-operators.
We're talking strictly about the owner-operators here, not drivers per se.
You're talking only about owner-operators?
Yeah, I'm responding to the owner-operator situation that was given to you by DOT. Okay. The company drivers, the companies obviously want the lift axle. Okay, company drivers, I didn't see any company drivers at any of our meetings. Company drivers get paid on a flat per mile basis. Owner-operators, because they have their own truck, get paid on a percentage of the gross revenue for the entire load. Okay? So the company drivers really didn't have a voice in this situation because their company decides what they shall drive. Independent owner-operators equip their trucks the way they want equipped to take advantage of the weight.
Chairman, I think we've just gotten to the real heart of the matter, and I was hoping we would, and I want to ask for some information. I'd like to see, the written analysis of the money that the owner-operator makes, the method that he makes his money from versus the company. Because I think what you're saying in terms of the owner-operators being able to shelter some of the fees they charge for driving the truck into under the umbrella of truck expenses is true. But I also think there's probably an advantage on the part of the companies who can marshal the heavier loads and the way that they make their money through their tariffs or rates. And I think we need to see that because the real issue is safety is an issue, road maintenance is an issue, but the real reason we have a difference is because you've got one group, the owner-operators, who want to make as much money as possible under their way of setting or charging rates, and you got the companies that want to make as much money as they can. Why don't we just put all that on the table and see if we can deal with that instead of dealing with the side issues?
Well, the real issue, of course, is economics. And what I've explained to you is that a small group of owner-operators that are Teamster union-affiliated operators want the lift axle removed. Okay? The rest, the 80% or so of all the drivers in the state and the companies want it left on.
Yeah, I know that's what you're saying, but I'm saying I'd like to see a sheet of paper with the numbers for if a given load is 100. How does the company charge me for carrying 100,000 pounds up the highway, and how does the owner-operator make his money as opposed to the company owner?
Okay, so the company charges by, it's called a rate per hundredweight.
You can't answer that now. I mean, I'd like to see it in writing.
Okay.
Can you give that to us?
Sure.
I'd sure appreciate that.
Okay. In any event, the more a truck hauls, the more everyone makes legally. okay? Because everybody in this business works off a percentage. We, the company, works off a percentage of profit. The driver works off a percentage of the revenue. Everything is based on the revenue. If you take a lift axle away, you're cutting down the load carrying capability and thus the revenue.
Representative Schultz.
There seems to be a contradiction in the statistics that you have, possibly, in the number of owner-operators that want to keep the lift axle, as opposed to what Commissioner Knapp was saying in the overwhelming response that he has received from owner-operators saying, do away with it.
Overwhelming, that's something I really, really question.
Well, he's talking about us.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm not sure how many people were in that mail campaign, but he never got as far. I would imagine that he probably received less than 50 people, or probably even a smaller number, less than 50 in any event, in direct testimony before any of his hearings or any of his meetings. To my knowledge, there was only one meeting of the Concerned Owner Operators Committee or something like this that had any meetings at all with DOT or anybody involved with this issue. And when they came to our meeting that we held, the Alaska Trucking Association held in Fairbanks, I think there were only four or five people there from the association. They couldn't muster any more people. And it's not because they couldn't muster them. Their own people weren't interested in the issue because they really didn't have the backing of the owner-operators. I'd like to break and really check this out.
We have a time crunch. The resources meeting is at 8:30. I'm trying to figure out how we can do this so that we can give both sides an equal opportunity. Would it be too much, and I realize that we're impinging on your financial situation, but would it be too much if we held another work session next week and had you have an opportunity to review it? Could you come down again then?
Will you meet tomorrow morning? Or you have other things?
I'm trying to think what's on the schedule for tomorrow morning. We have two bills on the schedule for tomorrow morning. I would like to do this while Mr. Banahan is in town because he does have expenses involved in getting here.
I'll be glad to come down whenever the committee would like, whether it's next week or this week.
Madam Chairman, for the extra few minutes it'll take to just find the right spot in the tape now, I don't mind sitting through
the Super Bowl.
Fast forward on the Super Bowl to get to the pertinent part of the tape.
Let's see the 10 points at Boston made.
Yeah, the game was boring anyway.
Well, we don't even know which part of the Super Bowl it is.
Yes.
Commissioner Knapp, these trucks with the lift axles, your concern caused some additional maintenance problems on the roads around the state, is that?
Yes, that's.
Have you thought about maybe assessing some extra additional charge, like an overweight permit or a lift axle permit, where you ask them for another $1,000 per load or $100 per load in order to offset some of the increased maintenance costs?
Not very seriously, Mr. Pignalberry, and the thought crossed my mind, and I kind of dismissed it. And the reason I did is I didn't see how I could collect enough. You know, it's almost like this proposed harbors policy that I'm going out with now, where I'm suggesting that maybe they ought to charge realistic rates to take care of maintenance of the harbors. And you'd have to, in order to make a dent in the kind of damage in terms of bridges and roads, it would be exorbitant. Madam Chairman, may I say one other thing while I'm up here? I heard what Harry said, and you know, his drivers will make the turn differently, and I understand. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that, as I said before, that this was done by the owner operators. I will even acknowledge that maybe it's an extreme condition that we have here, or that we had up there. But I want you to bear in mind one thing that was said, and that was, we would be, even if we had to, we would be able to make the turns because we would lift the lift axle. And that's precisely the point that I'm going against. There's no control over the lift axle, and when you figure a lift axle in for weight bearing, and you have the necessity for whatever reason to lift that axle, you're increasing the loading on the road and causing problems. You know, I'm concerned that we may be focusing in on the owner operators and this and the safety. That was only one aspect that came when we were aware of some safety concerns, but when it came to us, we said, let's look into that more carefully, okay? The fact is that any driver that you talk to that's got a lift axle will tell you, and I don't care whether he's a company man or whether he's an owner-operator, he will tell you that when I get into a tough spot, I am raising that lift axle, okay? And he'd be crazy if he didn't, okay? And what I'm saying is that danger is a subjective thing. And when you lift that axle, you're hurting the roads. That's the fundamental issue.
Madam Chairman, has the Department of Transportation done any analysis of the accident statistics involving trucks so you could say that lift axles were involved in X percent of accidents?
No, we haven't, Mr. Fiambre.
Don't you think that'd be an awfully good thing to do to...
It would. It would. But once again, while safety is a factor in this, I think it's only an ancillary factor to the main concern, which is the road maintenance and the loadings on the roads and the impact on the bridges.
Representative
David. I know Representative Schultz has a very important bill coming up at 8:30, so I'd like to get on with the show.
All right. Are you ready, Mr. Bannon?
Yes, I am. I don't believe there's any narrative with this particular... I hope not, anyway.
All
right,
here we go.
Okay. Yeah. This is a truck of the virtually the same configuration at the same place with a pretty heavy load on it. 129,000-pound load, a total gross weight of the whole rig. Having no problems at all making that turn.
Was this the same date?
No.
No, this was yesterday.
Well, I noticed one difference as a trucker, there's snow, and when you have a little bit of snow on the ground, it's about half an inch of snow there.
Right.
You get a lot more traction.
Mm-hmm. But there's still ice underneath of it.
That's very light snow out of box. It's also a 15 wide load, isn't it, Harry?
Yeah, it's an oversized, it's a permit load, just like the other one was.
What's the weight of this load?
The weight of this load... 129,650 pounds total gross. Lift axles are down. Now he's not having a problem at all. So, realistically, you can stage anything you want with the lift axles. If you overload them, yeah, you're going to get weight off the steering. But the drivers don't do that. And the safety record of the drivers that have the lift axles is extraordinary in the state. It's very good. There's only been one accident that I know of personally that I can think of in the 13 years that I've been in Alaska that ever occurred because we think he had too much pressure on the lift axle in an unsafe condition. And I'll make one closing comment from my side. This is going up the hill here from Fox to up the Elliott Highway, up to Hilltop. And as you can see, the axles are down. He's not having any problems whatsoever. And a couple quick points. The axles, the lift axle on a trailer, there's going to be some real severe economic problems with if you take the lift axles off the trailers because they play no part in the steering capability or safety at all. They're just there to get the extra weight and to be lifted when you're coming home empty to save rubber.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes. Representative Alderian.
Why don't you want to just carry more loads of lighter weight? You make more money that way.
Well, to be perfectly honest...
change your tariff system.
Well, yeah, right. What our position is, is that we operated within the law with the lift axles there, okay? For years up here, 10 years. And now, in the middle of all this, the state comes along and regulates the lift axle out of existence because they cannot enforce the law. or don't want to enforce the law, or won't put the roads and make the roads up to standard, and all of this has never furnished us with one document that said, this is how much it's costing us because your trucks are hurting the roads or the bridges.
Representative Schultz?
Yeah. It seems to me as though one critical factor in all the four trucks we've had a chance to see, that this one's 127,000 pounds, the other one's 96,000 pounds or whatever. But one thing that is very apparent, that the load configuration on this truck here has more weight towards the front, so even with the drive axles down, it is going to have more weight on the steering.
That's very possible.
The load was more on the one that we saw quite a bit, was there was more load towards the center mm-hmm. of the thing. So when you put the lift axle down, you still don't have the weight on the front of the truck.
Right.
I kind of believe that the movie that we saw the first time also, that it definitely is going to take pressure off of that front end and
sure.
not allow you to steer the truck as well. So maybe there has something to do when they go across the scales and they've got lift axles. Do you weigh the amount of weight on the front axle?
Yeah. That steering axle is weighed, and by law, it cannot be more than 11,500 pounds in most circumstances. Okay, and that's the maximum you can have, and it's a fixed weight because you can't. There's no way that you can take weight off of, or if in a normal configuration, a tractor without lift axles, you can't adjust that weight at all. The engine's up there,
right.
And that's it.
But with the lift axle, you can take
with the lift axle, you can change that weight, yes.
Right.
Representative Marrero?
Madam Chairman, just a brief comment. I've already touched on it. I tend to believe both films here. And having driven a truck myself, the small amount of snow that's on the ground makes a heck of a difference. You'd have to almost be there, but the fact that the snow is sticking to the tires means that there is traction, and you see right there, it's sticking to the tires.
Yes, but it's ice underneath. It's packed ice right underneath that, and I'm sure that
if it's cold,
just as slippery.
If it's cold, though, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes, it does.
Cold, dry ice is like driving on concrete.
Well, most of the time, until it gets polished sometimes. But you could still, if he overloaded those lift axles, there's still a good possibility that he could make that truck do exactly what the truck did before. What I'm saying is you're looking at an extreme case in the first film. This is a normal situation. Except for the size of the load. Drivers, how many accidents have there been at the Fox Scale House because drivers had their lift axles down and skidded into the bank? None.
Three we saw.
Yeah.
We do not have time for any more testimony. We'll bring this matter up at another time. Mr. Banahan, I thank you for coming down, bringing the video with you. I think it gives us some object of, hey, I haven't adjourned the meeting yet.
Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Where you guys think you're going?
Move to adjourn, Madam Chairman. Ask unanimous consent.
All right. The meeting is adjourned. I need to remind you, however, that at 3:30,